I'm going to invite you to return to your seats. Thank you. All right. Thanks for that. Let me just give you a couple of quick announcements and then we'll get into the message. The Benders have offered to host a potluck. Sarah and I nailed it down to June 28th, I believe. So that's Sunday, June 28th. We're going to do it probably between 3-4 in the afternoon, probably more like 4, closer to the dinner hour, but 4 o'clock out at their place. So June 28th, mark it on your calendars. We will send out details of like what we're doing and the address and that. I don't know. I'm blanking at the moment. But anyway, all I want you to do at this point is mark it on your calendars, all right? So that we have just another chance to enjoy one another's company and cooking and just hang out and have some fun. So put that on your calendar. That'd be great. Secondly, there's a commencement for Dream Center coming up this Friday. I don't believe any of the guys here are commencing. Normally, we congratulate those who are here with us at congratulations on continuing your journey and going for another month, and we'll look forward to when you guys do commence, but feel free to come on out for that commencement to support the guys who have been with us and are commencing. It's Jay and Devin, both of whom have been worshiping with us before, but feel free to come and do that and just be part of what is happening here on Friday night. Okay. I do not have a long sermon for you. I went really long last week, though that's not exactly the reason. But if you, as you notice me moving through this time and you feel like, oh, I just heard the landing gear come down, like this plane is about to land sooner than expected, it is expected, okay? And there are some reasons for it that I will explain a little bit later on. But we're going to have a extra chance, more of a chance to enjoy extra time with one another afterwards. Okay, grab your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 11, please, and let me just pray. Lord, it is always a privilege to open your word with other people who say, I follow Jesus. I want to learn from the master. I want to be like him. I want to see where God is at work and join in and continue to go the Jesus way and live the Jesus life by the power of your Holy Spirit. And we need help with that. So Lord, would you open us to what you are saying to us this morning through your word and by your Spirit? And I pray that in the end, you would have your way among us, that the city would be touched, that the people in our circles would see you at work in our lives and give praise to you. I pray that you would make us more like Jesus in this time. Have your way among us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to read the passage first and then unpack it. So it's a shorter passage. We're looking at Acts 11, starting at verse 19. If you've been with us and we've been tracking along with the story of Cornelius, Peter being sent to Cornelius and what happens there, this is the story that we're now going to touch on is sort of happening parallel to that one. So in another place around the same time, okay? So it picks up at an earlier part in the story and just touches on it where Stephen was stoned to death and then the people who are following Jesus in Jerusalem start scattering. And so that's where it picks up. So chapter 11, verse 19. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene and Antioch, went to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks, the non-Jews, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. And the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Let's pause there. Have you ever noticed that food, pop, something like that, often the no-name stuff is just as good as the named stuff, right? No-named can often be just as good. Here we see an episode with a bunch of no-named people, and the results are just as good as anything Philip did, and Paul did, and Peter did. It's like these guys just go, and the text says the hand of the Lord was on them, and more people came to Jesus because of it. Do you feel like you're one of the no-names? Like, I'm not a Peter, I'm not a Paul, I'm not a Philip. Well, the hand of the Lord can be just as much on you as on the people whose names we all know, right? God does a lot of awesome things through a lot of people that aren't going to get their names recorded in the history books. And that can apply just as much to you as to anyone else. Verse 22. So they go to Antioch, and it's like a church is birthed. And news of this, verse 22, reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And when he arrived and he saw the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Pause there. Jerusalem, so the headquarters. This is where all of the leadership remained, even though the church had started to be scattered. The regular, everyday church-attending people feared the persecution, understandably, that was breaking out as their lives were being threatened, as their livelihoods were removed, and they said, we have to go relocate. And they relocate around the wider Judean area and Galilee and even beyond. Antioch is up in Syria, so it's even beyond that. And as they go, they're sharing good news. The church is being planted, but news gets back to the leadership that have remained in Jerusalem, so the apostles and elders that are there. And they hear about what's going on in Antioch. It had to have been significant enough, what God did with no-named people, unnamed people, right? Ordinary people. What God did with unnamed ordinary people, the people like us, had such a ripple effect that news traveled a couple hundred kilometers back to the church in Jerusalem. That's pretty significant. There is a significant move of the Holy Spirit up in Antioch, and the leadership down in Jerusalem hears about it. And their response, what's their response? They send Barnabas. Why? We got to control this thing. Is that it? Do you see what Barnabas does? Does it look anything like dictatorship and control? What does Barnabas do? The text says that Barnabas sees the grace of God. That the NIV says he saw how the grace of the Lord was at work, something like that, what the grace of the Lord God had done. The Greek actually just says he saw the grace of God. He showed up, and he didn't try to control anything. He was looking for where God was currently at work. His mission was to see how is God at work and how can I join in? How can I come and be of support and encouragement? He's looking for God's fingerprints. Do you have a habit in your life of looking for God's fingerprints? Or do you have a habit in your life of focusing on the negative? It's a lot harder to see God's fingerprints in the negative. Okay? Barnabas comes in and sees God's at work here. I want to see what God's doing, and I want to call attention to it, and I want to support the people that are involved in it. And what's the result? The text says the church grows even more. Numbers were already going up and to the right. They were increasing just by it being a move of the Holy Spirit with some ordinary people. And then support comes from Jerusalem, and a guy with sensitivity to the Holy Spirit and no agenda comes to say, how can I support? How can I call attention to what God's doing? How can I have eyes to see God's fingerprints and how God's at work? And how can I bless it? And the result of that is further increase. I think that's pretty awesome. Make it your mission in life to bless whatever God is doing. Not whatever you want to happen, but bless what God is doing. Look for God at work. Look for fingerprints. Look for grace. And then you'll see opportunities to come alongside. And what Barnabas does is it says that he speaks encouragement to them. In other words, he sees God's doing something in your life. Keep going. Keep up the good work. Here's maybe how you could partner with him a little bit more. Oh, I can see this in your life. You hadn't seen that before? This is God. Keep going with it. Because what God often does is he lights a little bit of a fire, and then he entrusts it to someone and says, are you going to put fuel on this fire? Are you going to fan it into flame? Are you going to do something more? God starts something, but then we join in. And that's what Barnabas does. He joins with what God is doing, and he blesses it, and he nurtures it by encouraging people, by pointing out how God is at work. I see God's fingerprints in your life. Don't miss it. Keep going. That's Barnabas. And the result is growth, not because of who Barnabas is, but because of what God does through Barnabas. And then there's this shift that happens. Let's read the next section. So verse 24 ended off, Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. And then here's the shift. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus, it's another city, to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. And so for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. And the disciples were first called Christians in the city of Antioch. There's a shift that takes place. The numbers have been growing and growing and growing. And Barnabas recognizes, I don't have everything that's needed to take care of these people, to continue to steward well and bless the work that God is doing in their lives. I don't have every gift for that. And I can't do everything by myself. Who could join me? He thinks, I know a guy. We met in Jerusalem a while back. He's a really great teacher. He could help. His name's Saul. If you read on in Acts, he will eventually be known as Paul. Same guy. Barnabas says, that's my guy. I got to go find him because what God's doing here requires more than what I bring to the table. There's a humility there in Barnabas. He doesn't take credit for the work God is doing. He doesn't say it's all tied to him or dependent on him, but he recognizes that part of his stewardship involves making sure there are other people who can also come alongside and add their gifts to the mix, to take care of what God is doing. And he recognizes that there's been this trajectory of growth, but the shift that the Holy Spirit is about to make is from continuing to widen things to start to deepen things instead. These people need to go deeper in their relationship with Jesus, in their understanding of the scriptures, in a life of apprenticeship to Jesus. And we're going to need someone else to help with that so that we can go deeper now, because that's what the Spirit is about to do next. And he does it. He starts putting together a team. And you know what? Community is formed by community. He needed a team. Community is formed by community. Your gifts are needed. And Saul's were needed. And so Saul and Barnabas together put together this teaching ministry. People need to be taught. But it's not head knowledge. It's always apprenticeship to Jesus. What do the scriptures say and how do we live it out? Who is Jesus? How do we live and walk in the footsteps of who Jesus is? And depth takes time. If this community is going to go deeper in their walk with Jesus together, it's going to take time. So they invest a full year taking this community deeper in a walk with Jesus. And what comes out of that is a new identity. Do you see that? The disciples, which is what the early believers were called. They were called believers, and they were called disciples, and they were called the way of Jesus. Like the Jesus way we just sang about, right? And it's at this point in a teaching ministry between Saul and Barnabas, where they say the community needs to be formed and it needs to go deeper in who Jesus is, that they recognize that their entire identity is Christ. And they take up the name, not just the name, the identity of being those who are named after Christ. We follow Christ. My identity is not my past. Your identity is not your past. Your identity is, what is Jesus doing in my life? Who is Jesus? How do I respond to Jesus? That's what's getting formed in these people. Jesus has this message in what's called the Sermon on the Mount, where he ends the Sermon on the Mount by saying, anyone who builds their life on what who I am, what I say, what I teach, is like a wise person who builds a house on a solid foundation, builds it on a rock. And when life happens and storms come, that house stands because it's built on the rock. But those who do not build their lives on my words, on who I am, Jesus says, is like they are like someone who builds their house on sand, and the house will stand until hard times come. And if we are not built on a rock, if we are not built on Jesus, his identity, his teaching, his life, when hard times come, things will crumble. That's Jesus just calling it the way that it is. And so what these guys want to do, Saul and Barnabas want to do together, is make sure that this community, formed by community, in community, around the scriptures and who Jesus is and discovering their identity, make sure their identity is built from the ground up on the rock. It's Jesus. That's not a criticism of others. It's an invitation to every single person. I seem to be on repeat because I've been having this conversation over and over again this week. It might just be what God's doing this particular week. But when we go to Jesus to build our life on him, we're going to the designer to say, how did you design the world to work? How did you design me to work? And how do I come into alignment with that? That's what we're doing when we build our lives on the rock. Jesus is the one who sees what we don't. He knows how we are made. He knows the way the world works. And if I go his way, I build on the rock. That's the way I'm designed to live. And anything else is stepping out of design. Is your identity Jesus? Who you are, the very deepest parts of you, are they being formed by what Jesus says? Are we going the Jesus way, as we sang about? Did you mean it when you sang that? That you'll forgive anyone who has hurt you because that's the Jesus way. Those are the keys to freedom, by the way. If you don't know what that means, I'm not sure about that. We really need to talk. Okay, side note. Forgiveness is not an emotion. It is a choice. And when we forgive, we open the door to healing in our lives that was otherwise closed. Forgiveness is not an emotion. It's not minimizing the wrongs that have happened to you. They are every bit as wrong before you forgive them as they are after you forgive them. It's not minimizing. It's not reconciliation, meaning you start to trust the person who hurt you. That's entirely separate. It's coming into alignment with the way the world is, the way the designer has designed it. And Jesus, the designer, who says, build on my words, as he's teaching his disciples to pray. At the very end of his teaching on prayer, the most important thing that comes next is he says, if you forgive others who have sinned against you, your heavenly Father will forgive your sins. If you do not forgive others who have sinned against you, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. Forgiveness is the key to opening the door to God's work in your life. That's just one example of what it means to come into alignment with the designer and to build on the rock. It's an invitation to healing. And I have seen multiple times just this week, someone forgive someone who hurt them terribly. And it opened the door to healing in their lives and freedom. Take Jesus at his word. I want to live a life of coming into alignment with who Jesus is. I want to look more like him. I want to extend forgiveness and grace to the people who don't deserve it, right? We're not even forgiving people because they deserve it. We're just doing it because Jesus said, this is what you do to build a life on the rock. And those who do will find freedom. And if you want to chat more about that, I'd love to do that. People here who really love to pray with you in those things. Would you take a moment and just pause before the Lord and say, Lord, as we've quickly gone through this passage and talked about identity and community and building on the rock, what do I need to take most from it? Just pause. Ask him to speak. If you feel like I'm preaching right at you because I know your story, believe me, I'm not. It's my privilege to know your stories. And what I'm trying to do is pay attention to where I've seen God's fingerprints, to be a Barnabas, to come alongside what the Spirit is doing and say, the Spirit is doing this, keep going. And I have just seen this over and over and over and over again in our community as a whole, but especially in the last week or so. And so I'm not directing this at because there's one person I need to target and this is the easiest way. No, it's not that. I'm trying to be sensitive to what I think the Spirit is doing among us and point out God's fingerprints. And then also say there's healing and there's freedom involved in that if you go the Jesus way. The other thing that we talked about on Wednesday at our AGM was that God is also emphasizing community to us right now. I don't have time to share the whole story, and so I'll save that for maybe another time. But building a community is not one of my highest gifts. And I'm looking for, I'm going to be the Barnabas looking for the salt. Like, I'm looking for some of you who have gifting in this area more to come alongside a work that God has been really emphasizing to us just very, very recently. Among the other things I am saying to you, Unity Baptist, what I'm currently saying is focus on one another and build community here. Okay? I'll share the bigger story another time for those who weren't there on Wednesday. But if you have that particular gifting, if you're a people person, if there are some people out there that would really like to just find some ways to gather people, find some ways to bring us together in one another community, just time together, the potluck, right? But other things like that, where we can say, you know what, it's just good to be together and to allow more of this, more spaces and times for the Spirit to continue to form us together. That'd be really great. I would love to hear from you. I've got this idea. I think I could do this. Because again, I don't need people to tell me what to do because that won't really help me because I'm not very gifted in this area. I need your gifts and I can come alongside you and others if you could form a team or I can help form a team or something like that. But let's spend some extra time together, particularly this summer, right? So June, July, August. Let's think about this. How can we just be together in some fun ways, informal ways? That doesn't have to be something super organized, but just being together as a community that God has made us to be. One of the ways that I've decided we are going to focus on this on Sundays is I'm going to shorten services slightly. We're going to aim around 11:15-ish. And the Dream Center has blessed us with coffee at the back there. I'm going to just put out a sign-up sheet and say, will people sign up to bring a snack, just a simple snack? I got some Tim Hortons, some Timbits this morning. So I'm going to put out some Timbits there, a couple of juice boxes for kids, and we're just going to offer additional space and time just to be together on Sunday mornings. Okay, so we're going to try this through the summer, all right? As just a practical way to say, Lord, I want to be obedient, and I want to enjoy my friends and family here. And this is every bit as much for our Dream Center brothers and CSWs that we just love, right? We love having these sort of two families blended together. It's awesome. We love you guys so much. So this is for everyone very much. But consider, you know, how has God made me and how might my gifts contribute to the community and what God is doing here so that we can be a Barnabas and encourage and come alongside what God is doing and nurture and steward it. Let's pray. Lord, I bless you. And I bless the work that you are doing. I thank you that you invite us into a new identity. I thank you for that picture of baptism, where we leave our old self in the grave, in the water, and we rise to new life, new identity, new commitment to Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. I will be known by his name. I am Christian. I am a Christ follower. I go the Jesus way. I will build my life on the rock, even when it doesn't make sense to me, even when I don't feel like it, because I trust you. So Lord, would you do that in me? Do that in us? Would you renew us in a commitment to go in the Jesus way and following the lead of your Holy Spirit? Would you bless us with new eyes to see grace, new eyes to see your fingerprints where you are at work among us? And would you grant us a spirit like Barnabas of encouragement, of a willingness to engage with what you're doing and encourage others to follow Jesus and to keep going and to persevere and to say, I understand that's a lot. Let's see what Jesus wants to do with this. Let's go the Jesus way. Let's see how the Spirit is at work here. Lord, would you renew us in that kind of ministry? And would you make us a community that loves one another well? Help us to steward that word. Thank you for your great love. Thank you for your invitation. Thank you for your friendship. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship. Jesus lived that way right to the very end. Right? He forgives the people as they are currently nailing him to the cross. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Jesus lived the Jesus way right to the very end. Let's build our lives on the rock. Let's extend forgiveness. I'll even forgive those of you who smiled when I said I was shortening services. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you and lead you in the Jesus way. May he turn his face toward you and give you more of his presence, more of his grace, more of his spirit, more of his kindness, more of his love, more of his ways, and the power to live it out. Be blessed, friends. Anyone wants prayer, wants to talk, if you're mad at me for what I said, I would love to hear and chat more. Bless you all. Have a great week.